Hello, once again, welcome to the program, the Jeff Merrick Show, for this Tuesday, November the 30th. Thanks for joining me today. We have lots to get to you right off the top. A couple of developing stories here, none of them good. One, today the Edmonton Oilers canceled practice for precautionary reasons after Cody Ceci entered COVID protocol. Also, Bruce Cassidy, head coach of the Boston Bruins, he is now in COVID protocol as well. Joe Sacco will coach tonight as the Boston Bruins face off against the Detroit Red Wings. But in this one, Brad Marchand, with a three-game suspension for the slew foot on Oliver Ekman-Larsson, Anton Bleed with the upper body injury. And as we found out yesterday, Jake DeBrusque has requested a trade. Now, the Boston Bruins cannot call any players up from the Providence Bruins of the American Hockey League right now because they are experiencing a COVID-19 outbreak. I was told there were four yesterday, and there are more certainly today. Other American Hockey League teams, and Elliot and I mentioned this yesterday on the program, that are going through their own COVID situations that have had games canceled include the Hershey Bears, also the Hartford Wolfpack, had a game postponed Wednesday against the against Springfield, and also Bridgeport is going through their own situation with COVID as well. So we start the show with some bad news today about these teams and the COVID situation. All of this, of course, under the umbrella of what happens at the NHL level. Now, tonight, the Islanders were supposed to play the Philadelphia Flyers. That is one of the postponed games, as the Islanders have been shut down for COVID-19 protocol reasons as well. The Carolina Hurricanes are facing off against Dallas, but they've had two players test positive, and they've been shut down, did not make the trip to Dallas. That is Brett Pesce and Tony D'Angelo. So right now, it seems like all of our Twitter feeds are just COVID-19 hockey updates, but those are the big stories going on right now around the league. Going to bring Elliot Friedman on here in a couple of moments to talk about a few things. That developing situation. Also, the Jake DeBrusque situation with the Boston Bruins, scratch against Vancouver. That seemed to be the final straw for the former 27-goal scorer for the Boston Bruins. He has requested a trade. We'll see where that ends up. Also mentioned Brad Marchand with the three-game suspension for the slew foot on Oliver Ekman-Larsson. And is it just me? Is it just me, or does it seem that this has been early on, a couple of months in, the season of slew foots and near slew foots? And when I mention near slew foots, I mean, generously, sometimes they're called trips. But we've seen, you know, PK Subban border on a few of these. Most recently, Brad Marchand and Oliver Ekman-Larsson. We had Mike Hartman on Ross Colton, Kevin LeBanc on Tyler Boza. I can't remember a time when we had this many slew foot suspensions in such a short amount of time. But it's been a weird year. You know, we've seen weird fines, weird suspensions. Consider this, like, we're not at December yet, and we've had Artemi Panarin throw a glove at someone. We've had Pavel Buchnevich headbutt Lawson Crouse. Brendan Lemieux, we've had him biting Brady Tkachuk. That hearing, by the way, is today. The NHL Department of Player Safety opens up the possibility by offering an in-person, or in this case, Zoom call, of going above five games. Interesting there. Hey, speaking of games, Vancouver 1-1 last night. They beat the Montreal Canadiens 2-1. Elias Pettersson scores. Thatcher Demko, 33 saves, and the four-game losing streak is over. But that saga very much continues. Seattle beats Buffalo 7-4 at KeyBank. Two shorthanded goals started us all off. Carson Soucy with one, then Brandon Tenev just literally outfights Rasmus Dahlin down to the end of the ice for the second shorthanded goal of the period. Driedger versus Tokarski, Seattle's fourth win in five games. And in that process, like, let's not sleep on Seattle right now. Sure, you might say, oh, they beat Buffalo whoop-de-doo last night. They've won four of their last five games in the process, beating the Washington Capitals, the Carolina Hurricanes, and the Florida Panthers. Three of the top four teams in the NHL have been victimized by the Seattle Kraken as we speak today. And by the way, Buffalo needs a lot of help. And Buffalo needs a lot of help in net, specifically. I mentioned this Saturday on Hockey Nights. Whether it's calling Columbus about Korpisalo, whether it's calling Dallas about one of their goaltenders, Anton Hudobin, perhaps, anybody, they need some help. Philadelphia Flyers as well. General manager Chuck Fletcher will be holding a press conference in about 15 minutes. If you're listening to us live on 590-960 or 650, probably to announce, we all expect that the Philadelphia Flyers will not be making any changes right now. The standard, all of our answers are in that room, and that room is going to fix it, and that room is going to get out of the problems that we have skated ourselves into. Winnipeg Jets drop a tough one last night, 1-0 to the Arizona Coyotes. Karel Vemelka, congratulations, first career NHL shutout. 8 games, as we mentioned, tonight on the board, and a number of interesting ones that we will be following this evening. Mention the Detroit Red Wings. They face off against the Boston Bruins. Boston's in a tough spot right now with suspensions, injuries, and now COVID-19 with the head coach, Bruce Cassidy. You can watch that one on Sportsnet West and Sportsnet Pacific. That's starting at 7 o'clock Eastern. The Capitals and Panthers go at it, 2 of the top teams in the NHL. The Sharks and the Devils. And of particular note with the Sharks and the Devils, welcome back Jack Hughes. And not a moment too soon. It's always a good day when you welcome back one of the more exciting players in the NHL. And as I mentioned on Twitter a couple of minutes ago, to one of the more interesting slash exciting teams around the league. We'll see the Devils and the Sharks tonight at 7 o'clock Eastern as well. I'll get into some of the other games. Minnesota and the Arizona Coyotes. We'll have Mike Russo on later on to talk about that. Brian McClellan, general manager of the Washington Capitals, at the bottom of the hour. Meanwhile, Elliot Friedman from 32 Thoughts and Hockey Night joining me once again. And the story so far today, Friege. We thought we'd be talking about Jake DeBrusk and the Boston Bruins. Instead, we're talking about the Boston Bruins, and we're talking about COVID-19. And yeah. Bruce Cassidy, in protocol, Joe Sacco will coach. They can't call up anyone from Providence. They're going through their own COVID situation. I talked to one agent before I got on the air here who said, you know, he had heard that it was 4 yesterday, his client on the team testing negative, but we understand there are more today. We mentioned yesterday Hershey's going through their situation, a couple of games against Lehigh canceled. The Hartford Wolfpack canceled the game against Springfield on Wednesday. Bridgeport Islanders, they're going through their own situation right now. And Cody Ceci of the Oilers placing COVID protocol, and for precautionary reasons, the Oilers didn't practice this morning. That's a lot. I'll take a breath while you share your thoughts.
Very uplifting, isn't it?
Yeah. Morning.
Yeah. You know, it's, I was talking to someone last weekend and they were saying they were getting worried about where this was going. And now we see the evidence, right? The AHL, the NHL, you know, look, like we were talking yesterday, just briefly, the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, he's going to miss their game this weekend against New Orleans, Mike McCarthy, because of COVID. And, you know, the NHL tests more than the other leagues. And I know at times, you know, some people in the league and some of the players and teams have shown frustration with that, considering every player is vaccinated but one. But, you know, when you look at how much they're catching here and where we're kind of going, and now everybody's worried about the new variant, it's not a pretty picture. And you can't help but look at every single one of these cases and think Olympics. And mm-hmm. and what's this going to mean? This has just got to be, you know, every day. You know, I mean, obviously we still have time. We still have over 5 weeks to sort this out. But every day, doesn't it look more and more precarious?
It does. Look at all of our Twitter feeds. They're all COVID-19 updates.
Yeah.
Like, all of our feeds are now completely similar, as there are more. And we expect, you know, this not to change suddenly. We all cross our fingers and hope that everyone's safe and healthy and this doesn't affect any other teams and players and coaches and anyone with the organization. But that's foolhardy. We know that it will. And it feels like this is just starting to get, unfortunately, ramped up for the season. Mm-hmm. So this is an ongoing story, and I feel we'll end up talking about this almost daily here on the program. But I wanted to get your thoughts.
That's what people tune in for, right? That's
no, I know, right? Hey, happy. Yeah. Let's go. Hockey. Here we go. Who's playing tonight? Oh, we got the Caps and the Panthers. That should be great.
No. Let's talk about COVID. Let's talk about some Omicron.
Oh, brother. Let's talk about Jake DeBrusk. And here's a former first-round draft pick asking for a trade out of the Boston Bruins organization. And the final straw, I mean, he's been scratched before. This isn't new for Jake DeBrusk, a former 27-goal scorer for the Boston Bruins. We all know former first-round pick in 2015. The scratch against Vancouver Frege, the last straw for Camp DeBrusk?
Yeah, I believe that I believe there was a trade request in the summer too now. You know, the more I talk about this and the more I ask around about this, I think there was conversation about it last summer. And, you know, I'm sure the Bruins looked around but didn't find anything they liked, and obviously made an attempt, everybody made an attempt here to try to see if they could make it work. As you mentioned, the
we will once again endeavor to get Mr. Friedman back on the program after he's done with his call here on his app, which kicks him off the program essentially whenever he gets a phone call. Technical difficulties, please stand by. But talking about Jake DeBrusk, here's someone that we got him back. Sorry, Fried, you kicked out.
No worries. So he asked about it last summer. They obviously it didn't happen. They tried to make it work this year. We know that on the weekend the request was made again. I think Boston's going to accommodate it. I think we're headed down that road, Jeff. You know, the question is the timeline. You know, obviously the Bruins aren't just going to give them away. They're going to have to make a deal that they like too. I think there is a lot of interest. I think they're going to look at it. But, you know, the problem right now is, as you mentioned, you've got a COVID situation where you can't call anybody up from Providence. You know, Lid got hurt the other night, and he's going to be out. Marchand is suspended 3 games. You know, you're already shorthanded, so DeBrusk is going to have to play. And I think that's one of the mitigating factors in the short term. But I do believe, Jeff, that they're going to try to accommodate it. And I don't get the sense anything is imminent here, but I could see this one of the kind of thing, you know, for example, working out potentially before the Christmas trade freeze. I do think there's going to be an attempt to try.
Philadelphia Flyers, meanwhile, and their general manager, Chuck Fletcher, in about 3 minutes' time will be addressing the media. What do we expect here other than all of our answers are in that room and that's what we're going to try first?
Well, I think that's what I'm expecting. I mean, you know, we would have seen if there were, you know, major changes from practice, right? Yeah. You know, I kind of wondered on the podcast yesterday if there was going to be potentially they might try, like they've made trades. They made big trades in the offseason to get the likes of Ristolainen and Ellison Atkinson in there. So I don't know what else you can do trade-wise. And they're also dollar in, dollar out because they're right at the cap. So I kind of wondered if maybe they would consider a coaching change. I don't think that's what they want to do. I'll tell you this too. Like, I was just looking at their schedule. You know, next week they have 5 games. They have a brutal schedule next week. They have 5 games in 7 days, back-to-back Tampa, Colorado at home, at New Jersey, and then that's on a Wednesday, and then next Friday they got back-to-back at Vegas and at Arizona. Like, that is just brutal. Like, what an ugly, ugly schedule that is. So, I expect that what Fletcher's going to do is say, you know what, we're gonna have to band together here. And, you know, I think the thing that really has hurt them, among other things, is Ellis's injury, because, you know, he was supposed to be there this year to be Provorov's partner. I think he's a really talented player, Provorov, but what's been proven is that he needs someone to play with him, right? You know, he needs a guy who's a steady, like the Niskanen of the world to play with him. And yeah. Ellis's injury has kind of really hurt that. You know, so I think, you know, Fletcher's patient. I think he's going to try to make them work through this, but it's a tough time there. There's no question about that. They're in trouble. And as you said yesterday, we never would have thought that would have been the case with the kind of goaltending they're getting this year.
You know, and to your point about Niskanen too, it seems as if they've never really recovered from him at the end of the bubble saying, no more, I'm done.
Yeah. No, there's no question about that. He was an underrated good player, man. He was
absolutely.
He was a really good player. I've tried to talk to him before too, and he's like, "Nope, I'm ice fishing. I don't have to deal with you losers anymore."
Can you blame him?
Not really.
One more thing on the Philadelphia Flyers. You know, we talk and have talked a number of times about players like Johnny Gaudreau and Philip Forsberg, and most recently last week, Nazem Kadri. You know, players that at the end of the season, unrestricted free agents, what happens here? Should we add Claude Giroux to that mix?
I do wonder about it. Like, you have to be sitting there thinking, if you're the Flyers, about where you're going here and what the future is going to be. I think that when you're there, at some point you say, do we have to make changes just because we're stale? Or do we just have to put our money to different ways? Like, you know, first of all, there's a question about what does Giroux want to do? Mm-hmm. There's a question about what's he looking for contract-wise. There's also the question about, you know, how important do the Flyers still see him? And I would suggest they see him as important. I've wondered about him going to Ottawa before. Like, I could see, like, you know, you look at Ottawa and kind of what they're going through right now, and I've kind of wondered if the Senators would be interested in something like that, someone like that, to help stabilize their group. You know, it always depends on what he'd be looking for contract-wise and does it make sense. But, you know, I've kind of wondered about that. Like, there's two people that got to play here, but I think if you're the Flyers, you kind of have to be thinking about, you know, as you look through this, is it time to say, you know they've already changed a bit of their core last year, but you've got to be thinking, are they asking themselves, do we have to go even further?
Just getting a note here. I want to check this. Hang on, give me 2 seconds. This is
This could be good.
I don't know how good it's going to be for each. It sounds like the Sudbury Wolves have been shut down. The OHL.
Oh, OHL?
Yeah.
Jeez, you know, it's terrible everywhere, eh?
Yeah, no, I'll hang on. Let me try to find. Yes.
So that would be the first OHL team, right?
Yeah, 12 players have tested positive.
Jeez.
The Sudbury Wolves of the OHL.
Ouch.
So.
Well, I hope those kids are okay.
No kidding. That's not great. To that point, we hope that all those kids are okay. So that's the very latest. The Sudbury Wolves of the OHL have been shut down. Number of kids testing positive. Speaking of exciting kids, Jack Hughes returns tonight for the New Jersey Devils. We've talked about Jack Hughes plenty this year here on the podcast. We talked to him in Chicago. Great personality. Someone the league, you know, could hang their marketing caps on. Dynamic player, all of it. And he returns tonight for the New Jersey Devils. I don't really have a question other than, hey, Friedge, Jack Hughes is back tonight.
Yes. And, you know, I think New Jersey deserves a lot of credit because I think a lot of us thought that they'd get buried without him. And they're very much in the race. Really good. Really impressive. You know, that's a team that's definitely heading in the right direction, and you get the jolt from Hughes coming back tonight. At the end of the day, people want to be entertained, right? And you know those fans will be bananas tonight to see Hughes back in the lineup, and he'll be wired to go. It's good. Yeah. You want your stars playing.
And that's the New Jersey Devils facing off tonight against the San Jose Sharks. Two teams that, you know, at the beginning of the season, like, we thought New Jersey would be better. We didn't know how much they'd be better, like how much improved they would be. But San Jose, and we've talked about this before, like San Jose was one of those teams we looked at and said, I don't know. I'm not sure that there's anything there anymore. But so far, so good for the San Jose Sharks, although the Evander Kane question still sort of hangs out there and hovers around the team. All right, then. You still there? Okay, we've lost Elliot again. We will try to get him back. We really got to fix this phone situation with Friedge. I'll be honest with you here. That's one of 8 games on the board this evening. It is the San Jose Sharks and the New Jersey Devils. And just to recap the very latest news, just breaking a couple of moments ago, the OHL suspending team activities for the Sudbury Wolves after a number of players have tested positive, 12 specifically. We got you back there, Free Giroux. I got a quick thought on San Jose before I ask you something about Montreal.
Well, I think San Jose, I mean, I think Evander Kane is supposed to talk today because he's doing his first practice with the American Hockey League team, the Barracudas. Yeah. So I think we're going to be really curious to see what he has to say about there. And I'm just curious to see, like, you know, what kind of conversations, you know, they've had about his future there. Is he expecting to be called up? You know, the thing that stands out here is this isn't a conditioning stint, right? They put him on waivers and sent him down there. So they could keep him down there for a while. I'm curious to see what kind of communication there's been in terms of having him come back up. You know, I think the other thing, too, is that San Jose has been a lot better than I think a lot of us expected. The player quotes about him returning have not been positive. So I think we're all kind of sitting here and saying, Where's this going to go? You know, the other thing, too, I wonder about the Sharks, Jeff, is at what point here do we get some clarity on Hurdle?
Well, so he's on, just for our listeners all know, he's on an expiring contract right now. So there's a big decision to be made there, both by the San Jose Sharks and by Thomas Hurdle himself. I don't want to say that I'm marrying anything that Thomas Hurdle decides based on what happens with Evander Kane, but it does seem like it is a very different environment without Evander Kane there. And if they're going to keep Thomas Hurdle, you know, you're probably going to have to move on from Evander Kane, which it sounds very much like the San Jose Sharks are only too happy to do anyhow. But you're right. There's a decision looming here. Like, what do you do with him? Because you can't let him walk away for nothing, especially not if you're the San Jose Sharks, and you need to be very protective over all of your assets. What do you think?
I think the other thing, like, one of the things I'm kind of wondering about here is, yes, you have to be protective of your asset. But secondly, you know, San Jose's been, you know, they've been burned by some of their long-term deals. How do they feel about this one?
He's 28 years old.
He's a good guy they drafted and developed.
Really good. I know there's been injury issues with Hurdle before.
The injury issues are the one I wonder about the most. Like, how do they feel about that? They know him better than anyone else.
They have a lot of the majority of their long-term deals. I mean, outside of, you know, the obvious one in Logan Couture, a lot of their long-term deals are on the blue line. And, I mean, Carlson doesn't expire until 27, Vlasic 26, Burns 25.
And Kane, and they're definitely working on to see if they can make a trade for Kane. But if they can't, and they're, from what I heard, they're trying to do this as a three-way because it's very hard to fit Kane's salary in on a straight-up deal unless you're taking something back that you may not want. So, you know, if you can't trade them and it doesn't work, are you thinking about a buyout at the end of the year? So I think there's a lot in play here. I was just looking at it this week, and I was looking at all the Hurdle stuff. And, you know, San Jose tends to be pretty quiet. You don't always hear what's going on there. Yeah. But it's really quiet with Hurdle. And, you know, I just wonder what that's going to mean. And they've been better than we thought. So that can kind of change your decision, too.
Do you think San Jose would add a sweetener to the Kane deal? Like, you know, we know that they would eat salary, correct, to make it happen?
Yes, they have said that.
Would they be in the position, as well to add a sweetener to the deal?
I think that depends on the negotiations, right? I think you're sweet. I think you're opening up. You don't show all your hands at the beginning, right?
No, of course.
So they've shown something. They've shown that they've said that they're willing to do the eating the salary. You're probably sitting there and hoping that that's all you have to do, right? And we go from there. But I think that's going to depend on what the interest is and who's willing to help you. Can you get a third team? What do you have to take back? I think that's all part of the conversation.
How much of a marketplace do you think there is for Evander Kane? Like, there's no denying the talent. And last season, he played great. Like, this, like the most recent time we saw him on the ice, fantastic. It's everything else, as we all know, that comes along with Evander Kane that is the issue here, to which I wonder, how much of a marketplace is there for Evander Kane?
So.
Like, I know historically, there have been a lot of teams that have always been, you know what, we'll take him once we get him into our program. We can, like, there's always been that... the arrogance of some GMs, like, oh, you don't have the right program. We have the right program. We can get to this guy. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Does that still exist for someone like Evander Kane?
Oh, it exists in general. There's no question about that. I think some teams have looked at it, but I don't know how much there is there. Like, I haven't been blown away by people saying to me, this team is definitely interested.
Mm-hmm. How much of a marketplace is there for Jake DeBrusk right now? Like, how much are teams willing to pay?
I think there's a good one. Well, I think that comes down to, like, what does Boston want, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, Boston's going to want, you know, Boston's a team that's battling to stay in the playoff race right now. They're not going to want something, you know, they're not going to do anything that's going to make them worse, right? This is not a year where they're giving up on the season. So either DeBrusk is going for a player that helps them now, or he's going in a move that allows him to get something that helps them now. You know, one guy I've kind of wondered about, like one team I've kind of wondered about, and again, I wanted to say this is me spitballing here for a second. One team I've kind of wondered about is Seattle. And, you know, Seattle's got a guy there who had a really good year last year in Winnipeg, and he hasn't, you know, it hasn't been a great fit early, Appleton.
He looked good last night.
Yeah, he did look really good last night, and they looked really good last night. But generally, it hasn't been a great fit for him so far. Like, I have to think there's teams looking at Appleton and saying, you know, that guy was a really good player last year in Winnipeg, got squeezed out because of the draft, not because he's no good. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe there's a role for us that he can't find with the Kraken. Now, I'm not necessarily saying that, you know, it's, you know, DeBrusk for Appleton straight up makes necessarily a lot of sense. But I just think that, like, that's the kind of guy that I could see Boston saying, you know what, that was a good player in Winnipeg last year. And that guy would make a lot of sense for us. And Appleton's a guy I've kind of wondered about teams calling Seattle about a bit.
Really quickly before we wrap, and Brian McClellan coming up here at the bottom of the hour, GM of the Washington Capitals.
Oh, yeah?
We're 24 hours out of
By the way, talk about good radio voices. Like, if the GM thing doesn't work out,
he's got
a future in broadcasting.
No, you know who's got the best one? Is Tom McPhee. Tom McPhee always had the great, deep, raspy. I can't even do it without hurting my throat. Tom McPhee was always my favorite, just because of how deep and rich and at times raspy that voice was. We're 24 hours now out of the Jeff Molson press conference yesterday.
Yeah.
Montreal loses last night to Vancouver. Okay, whatever. But one of the questions is now becoming, you know, after Jeff Molson said, "I'm not afraid of the word rebuild."
Yeah.
Whether it's Brendan Gallagher, whether it's Tyler Toffoli, I think Mike Hoffman's coming back this weekend, I think, is what it sounds like. Now, some of the more veteran players, do we start to hear about the Montreal Canadiens getting involved? I mean, we all knew that Chiarot was gone, but do we see them getting involved in the trade market more than previously expected?
I think it's possible. Like, you know, first of all, you know, Gorton, you know, he's got to get in there, and I guess he's going to be in today or tomorrow to start taking over and doing what he's going to do. But yes, I think you're going to start to hear a lot of things about Montreal. I think there's two big rumors you're going to get out of Montreal. Number one, who's going, and number two, who's going to be the GM. And, you know, one thing I was going to write in the notes today, Jeff, I think that when they were going through this process, I believe that Briere's name came up internally as a candidate there. So I don't think he's going to be the only candidate, but I think it's pretty safe to say he's going to get a long look for this. He's running Maine right now in the ECHL. But yes, you know, the one thing I'm trying to figure out exactly, you know, who would be on or off the list for Montreal. But I do think we could be headed to a big time change of direction from them. Yes.
We shall see. All right. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon, my friend.
I think you know what, Merrick. I think from now on in the future, we'll just use the phone line, like the landline. No. I'll use my cell line. I do have a landline, but it's not hooked up right now. But I'll just use my cell because this is the app. Unfortunately, while the sound quality is better, it's just not working.
No, I know. I think we'll.
I'm getting knocked off too much. Yeah.
I know, you just get in your good rhythm too, and then you get bounced out of the box. It's not good. Okay, we'll solve that for tomorrow. All right, good stuff, bud.
Take care.
We'll talk tomorrow. There he is, Elliot Friedman from 32 Thoughts and Hockey Night in Canada. There's a lot there. And the most recent news, if you missed it, the Sudbury Wolves of the OHL shut down 12 players testing positive. They have shut down operations in the Ontario League. There's a number of teams in the American Hockey League right now. Going through their own COVID situation, most notably Providence, for the purposes of the Boston Bruins trying to make call-ups due to suspension and injury. They cannot because Providence is going through their own, as is Hershey, as is Bridgeport as well. You know, as are players in the NHL, Cody Ceci, Edmonton testing positive today. Oilers shutting down team practice. Tyler Bozak testing positive with the St. Louis Blues. So it is an ongoing, and yes, I know it is an annoying story, but it is becoming the story in the NHL. And as Elliot and I just mentioned as well, all of this under the umbrella of the Olympics. Step away, Brian McClellan, the general manager of the Washington Capitals, who have been outstanding, specifically that number 8 guy who looks rejuvenated. Looks like he's 25 years old. I want to check the birth certificate. Brian McClellan of the Caps joins me next. Merrick Show continues across the Sportsnet Radio Network.